The title of the sermon this morning is Sowing and Reaping. And the text for the sermon is found in Galatians 6, verses 7 through 9. You see it on the PowerPoint overhead. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. You look at our nation today, and you look at the world today, and we're living in days of spiritual forgetfulness. We're forgetting God and His Son. We're forgetting the church. We're forgetting that the Lord's Day is really the Lord's Day. We're forgetting death and the incredible fact of judgment. People live as if they'll never die and that they'll never have to face judgment. They're forgetting all of that. The reality is that they must pay for their neglect and for their forgetfulness. If they're leaving God out of their lives, if they're neglecting God and forgetting about God, they will reap what they have sowed. In fact, that sowing and reaping, they'll reap what they've sowed. That's the intangible law of nature, and it is also the law of God, as we have read it in God's Word. Men may forget God. They may leave God completely out of their lives, and they may not even realize the impact and the consequences of living lives completely ignoring God. But one day, they will reap a fearful harvest of leaving God out of their lives. Again, whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. There's no truer text in the Bible. This is an immutable law that operates in every aspect of our lives. It is invariable. It is unalterable. It cannot be revoked. It cannot change. It cannot change one iota, and it's applicable. It's applicable to every sphere and field of life. It applies to everything is what I'm trying to say. The Bible tells us in Hosea 8 and verse 7, they sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. You've heard that expression. That expression is from the Word of God. When you sow wheat, you get wheat, don't you? You never pick squash off of a walnut tree. It just doesn't happen. You don't get a watermelon off of a cucumber vine. That just doesn't happen that way. You realize that there has been found in the tombs of Egypt wheat that had been stored in the tombs of Egypt for over 5,000 years. And they planted it and it came up. Think about it. In 5,000 years, that seed did not forget that it was wheat. It was still wheat. What you sow, you're going to reap. And that'll never change. But even if these words weren't in the Bible, you know they're true because we experience it ourselves from our own experience in our own lives. We know that is true. In the natural, we've sown and that we've reaped. And so today we look at this important truth from the Word of God on its impact and its meaning. And we begin with the first point is that God is not mocked. This was part of our scripture text. As Paul wrote these words, he was simply saying, you can't fool God. You can't sin and get away with it. You can't fool God because He sees all. God knows all. You can hide from a lot of folks, but you cannot hide from the Lord. Your family and your friends and your neighbors, they may not even suspect or understand something that's not right in your life, perhaps sin in your life. But God knows. He knows all about it. He sees you in the brightness of the midday, and He sees you in the blackness of the midnight. You must account to Him for everything. I don't think there is anyone in this sanctuary today, this morning, I don't think there's anyone here that hasn't said or done something that looking back, you knew it was wrong, you knew it was an act of sin. My mother and my sisters and I, when I was a little fella growing up, we would often go over to my Uncle Roe and Aunt Cletus's place over in southeast Dallas County, a little community called Raleigh, kind of other side of Pleasant Grove. And they had several acres, and we'd often go over there on a Saturday night. I had great memories of my family was very musically talented, and on Saturday night I could still see my aunts and uncles, and they'll all be sitting out outside of the home there under the stars, strumming guitars and playing accordions and singing songs of the church and worshiping God, just out there just worshiping and having a great time singing. And of course, us cousins, we'll all be running around playing and chasing lightning bugs and doing stuff that kids do while the moms and dads were over there singing and strumming the guitars. Well, we were having a great time one Saturday night, and my cousins and I went out to the barn to feed my cousin Gary's donkey. He had a little donkey out there. We went out to feed the donkey. While we're out in the barn, I spotted a little can of red paint. Red paint. And all of a sudden, I thought that that little can of red paint would be absolutely perfect for a little homemade go-kart I was putting together. I'd taken some wheels off an old baby buggy, and I had some crates I was crudely putting together making this go-kart, and I just imagined that can of red paint would make that little go-kart look really fancy and look great. And so I took, while people weren't paying any attention, I took that can of red paint, and in the darkness of night, I snuck it back into our car and put it in the back seat of the car. Nobody was looking. I thought I was getting away with it. Later, when I got home that night, I got that can of paint out of the car as we were getting out of the car. My mother saw it. She said, "Now, Lenny, where'd you get that can of red paint?" And I lied. I said, "Well, my cousin Gary gave it to me." It was a lie. God knew it. God knew it even as I was a little boy. God knew that what I had done was wrong. And I could tell you, I could feel it. I felt guilty. I felt guilt deep inside. Because you know what? You can't fool God. He has all power. He can make you or break you. You're like clay in His hands. Well, I will tell you, I carried that little secret in my heart for many years. But years later, as a young man, when I was at my Aunt Cletus and Uncle Roe's house one day, I told them the story of stealing the red paint from the barn. And they were they laughed about it, actually. So, "We forgive you." And I said, "You don't know how bad I felt about it." Every time I would go to their house, by the way, I would remember that. That's what sin does to you. It reminds you of things you've done that you know aren't right. God has the power to bring you and I to judgment. We're told that, in fact, in Revelation 6 and 16, it's describing times during the Great Tribulation, the awful day of judgment, that men will pray for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and to hide them from the wrath of God. Now, God is a God of love, and He's a God of grace. But He is also, according to the Word of God, a God of wrath and judgment. And that wrath and that judgment will come on those that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. What a mighty God we serve. How foolish people are to think that they can get away by ignoring God, leaving God out of their lives, and there will not be any consequences. They will reap what they are sowing. My mother was a very strict and godly woman, and she made sure her children, my two sisters and I, were in Sunday school every Sunday morning, in Sunday morning worship service, in Sunday night worship service, in the Wednesday night worship service, and in Vacation Bible School when they had Vacation Bible School. In fact, it wasn't just limited to our church's Vacation Bible School. Many of you remember, I was talking to Sherry about that this morning. As a kid, I can remember there'd be a caravan of cars coming down our street with streamers and signs, and they would be advertising Vacation Bible School for First Baptist Church or for the First Christian Church or whatever the church may be. And they'd throw out candy with little signs and stickers and things and flyers to remind you, "Come to Vacation Bible School." I want to tell you something. I went to every one of them. My mother got every one of those, and we went to Vacation Bible School. She said, "It's the First Baptist Church you're going. If it's the Christian church you're going, you're going." We went. We were always in church because my mom was making sure of that. Sunday nights were hard for me because, you know, on Monday mornings, I would go to school on Monday mornings, and, you know, when you're a little 10-year-old boy, I would just have to admit, I love to watch Westerns. Some of you guys understand that? And I watched all I could, but there was one Western I could never watch. It came on Sunday night, and y'all know it. It was called Bonanza. And when Bonanza was on, I was always in church. Sunday night, we're in church. I couldn't stay home and watch Bonanza. And I'd go to school on Monday mornings, and all the boys would be saying, "Oh, did you see Bonanza last night? Did you see what old Hoss did? Or did you see what little Joe did?" And I'd just be listening to it. I thought, "Boy, that must be a wonderful TV show. I wish I could watch it. Sounds like a great Western." Well, one Sunday evening, it was just pouring down rain. I mean, the sky was black. It was thundering and lightning. And I went to my mother, and I said, I thought, this is my chance. I could stay home tonight and watch Bonanza. I said, "Mom, it looks terrible out there. The sky's black. It's thundering and lightning. We better not go to church. We better stay home and be safe." I can still see my mother looking at me and replying in the way and in the tone that sometimes mothers have. She looked at me, and she said, "Lenny, it's not going to be raining on the judgment day." It's like, hello, Lord. What a sobering thought, right? We can make up all kinds of excuses. We can find all kinds of reasons, so to speak. But they're not going to help you on judgment day. Because God's going to hold you accountable. You're sowing now. God is not mocked. You're going to reap what you sow. The second truth is that you reap what you sow. We understand that. That's that truth. We've been saying that over and over this morning. The great preacher, Reverend D.L. Moody, was preaching a sermon in his great church. And the sermon was on sowing and reaping. And he gave several illustrations to make his point. Well, at the conclusion of the service, at the very end of his sermon, a man stood up in his congregation and shouted these words, "I don't believe it." And right then, there were two detectives that had been looking for that man. They came in and immediately arrested him for the crime he'd committed. And surely he came to believe that a man surely will reap what he sows. He learned it real quick right there. He believed. I've got a feeling he believed it after that event took place. There are indeed consequences in this life, consequences of sowing in our daily lives. There's many men and women in the Bible, by the way, that illustrate this principle. If you go to the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 27, 28, and 29, you have the story of Jacob and Esau. You remember what took place? Jacob deceived his father, Isaac. He put on goat skin to make him look like he was his older brother with a hairy skin. He wanted to get his father's blessings. So Jacob did this and get the blessing that was really intended for the older son. The older son, of course, was Esau. He was born first. They were twins. Well, after deceiving his father, you remember what took place? Jacob ran away to live with his uncle Laban. He was living there several years. This was at the advice of his mother to do this. Well, he thought he'd gotten away. He thought he'd gotten away with this deception of his father. But remember, God says that you reap what you sow. You're not going to reap something similar. You're going to reap exactly what you sow. So what happened to Jacob? Well, he fell in love with a beautiful young lady named Rachel. He fell in love with Rachel, and her dad says, "You got to work for 7 years before you can have her hand." So then on their wedding night, Jacob lifted the veil, and what did he have? He didn't have Rachel. No, sir, Rachel was the younger daughter. What he had was Leah, the older daughter. And I have a notion that Jacob learned a real lesson on his honeymoon that night. He had deceived his own father by pretending to be the older son when he was really the younger son. And now his uncle had deceived him and given him the older daughter when he thought he was getting the younger daughter. There's an old expression, the chickens do come home to roost. And that's true in this example. And it's true in that example, what happened to Jacob. We reap in the lives of others what we sow here. Did you hear that last part? We reap in the lives of others what we sow here. Here's the tragedy of sin. It not only hurts us, it hurts those we love. I'm sure there's many in this room that can remember events in your life where others have hurt you by their sin and their disobedience to God. In my own home with an alcoholic father who often abandoned our family and was committing adultery and ruining his life. It touched our lives powerfully and immensely. The great evangelist, J. Wilbur Chapman, he was holding a revival meeting in a certain town, and a woman came up to the great evangelist, J. Wilbur Chapman, and said, "My son is in prison. In fact, he's in prison in the next city that you're scheduled to go to. Here is his name. Would you please visit my son in prison and try to win him to Christ?" Reverend Chapman said, "Sure, I'll do that. I promise to do that." So as he went to the next town, he went to that prison. He found that young man, the mother, had asked him to go and witness to. The boy came into the meeting room with Reverend Chapman, and he looked right in the preacher's eyes, and he said this to the preacher. He said, the preacher told him, he said, "By the way, your mother asked that I come and talk to you about Jesus." And the young man looked at the preacher right in the eyes, and he said, "Damn my mother. When I was a boy, she played poker instead of going to church. She taught me how to play poker. And as I grew up, I began to gamble. And I lost large sums of money. And finally, I embezzled money from my employer to pay my gambling debts. That's why I'm in this prison. My mother is responsible for all of it. You can tell her just what I said." I tell you what, moms and dads, we have a responsibility in the examples we set for our children and for our grandchildren. It's so important that we live for Christ, that we set the right example for our children, that we do our best to be Christ-like as an influence on sons and daughters and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, whether they're 6 or 56, it doesn't matter. And sadly, though, many parents never quite learn the role of their influence on their children. A father felt the same way about his boy. He said, I don't believe in trying to influence my son. He's got to make up his own mind about God and life. One day, the little fellow broke his arm, and a Christian doctor was setting the little boy's arm. And every other word the little boy uttered was a curse word. And the Christian doctor, he later went to the boy's dad, and he says, "You didn't believe in influencing your son, but the devil sure did. Now you must reap what you've sown." Oh, we reap in the lives of others what we sow in this life. And the third point this morning is that you reap more. You reap more than you sow. This is a law of nature. You sow one grain of corn, naturally you expect to get more than that one grain, don't you? You look at an ear of sweet corn. I love sweet corn. We had some last night. Don't y'all love sweet corn? It's just so good. Still on the cob, you know, where you just put the butter and the salt. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know that one ear of sweet corn contains roughly 800 kernels of corn. And on every ear of sweet corn, you count them, there's 16 rows. So most sweet corn varieties will have 2 ears of corn per stalk. Okay, most of them will have at least 2 ears per stalk. So if you planted one little seed, one kernel of corn, and that one kernel of corn put up one plant that had 2 ears on it, and they each got 800 kernels on each ear, you've got one little seed you planted, now you've got 1,600 kernels of corn. That's a 1,600% increase. Now, the same truth is applicable in the spiritual realm. If we sow to the Spirit, if we sow to the things of God, to the things of Christ, we can expect double what we've sown. Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, first of all, on this earth, we're gonna reap a clear conscience. We're gonna reap peace in our hearts. We're gonna reap sweet fellowship with Jesus. Then, in the life beyond, we're going to have heaven and a reunion with loved ones and eternal joy and happiness forever and forever. That's a double blessing as we reap like we sow in the Spirit. You remember the story of Jochebed. Her baby boy was Moses. And when Moses was born, there were terrible times in which they lived, and Pharaoh was going to kill all the firstborn. So she devised a plan to save the little boy's life. And as a result of that plan, you know the story. The daughter of Pharaoh adopted Moses as her own boy. And in God's wonderful arrangement of things, Jochebed was able to be the nursemaid to Moses while he was young. And certainly that mother, Jochebed, taught Moses about God, God's call on Father Abraham, and God's real purpose for Israel, his people. Then Jochebed surely saw her son Moses grow up like an Egyptian. It was Egypt. Egypt, the culture, the philosophies, the wealth, the Egyptian religion was all poured into her son. But there came a day when Moses forsook the pleasures and the knowledge and the teaching of all of Egypt, and he went out to take his place among God's people as God had put his call on this young boy's life. Think about this. Jochebed, by sowing into this one young man, she reaped the reward of millions of Jews being set free from Egyptian slavery and eventually coming to the promised land, the land of Israel. She reaped so much more than what she had sown. At this church, at Heritage Church, as we began as a brand new church plant in 2009, the leadership of this church made a firm commitment to support missions and missionaries, and that support would be a priority of this church. And this church has been sowing seeds. I love this. This church has been sowing seeds year after year after year since we started in 2009. And this little small church in the last 15 years has given $1,627,947 to missions. Praise God for that. Amen. Praise God for that. You look at total missions giving for the last 5 years is almost $1 million. In just the last 5 years, $923,679. And if you look back at the current trend, in the last 12 months, we have given $225,290 to missions, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, to let the world know that there's no hope outside of Jesus. We've been sowing, and our cup runneth over. The blessings of God in this church are so wonderful. The Word of God tells us in Luke 6:38, give and it'll be given to you in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your bosom. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And the blessings are incredible. Reaching the lost with the good news of Jesus. All over this world, literally thousands come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior by the missionaries that we support month after month and year after year. And the reaping is being measured back to us as the Scripture declares that we've just read. The ninth verse of our Scripture text tells us these words, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Sometimes it's easy to lose heart if you're not careful. Sometimes you can just kind of slip back and you lose heart because you keep praying, you keep believing, you keep trying, and you're not seeing the results. There's many of us in this room this morning. We have sown seeds. Perhaps we've sown seeds in the lives of our children and our grandchildren, and we're wondering if we're ever going to see the reaping of the harvest and the lives of those that are so precious to us that we love so much. But let me encourage you here this morning. Keep sowing the right seed. Keep sowing and be patient. You will indeed reap what you've sown. It's the Word of God. You may have had problems and conflicts. You may have disappointments even today, but keep sowing the Word of God, remembering the Word of God, His promise to us that's found in Isaiah 55:10-11. "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word
that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. It is the Word of God. It is the power of the gospel, the power of the wonderful cross of Jesus Christ, the power of the resurrection, the power of the story that we share with those that are lost that need Jesus. The Word of God, it will go forth and it will accomplish what God wants it to accomplish if we remain faithful to be His agents in this world that so need to hear about Jesus Christ. Every Friday in the parking lot at Tom Thumb, the people that are followers of the religion of Islam, the Muslims, because their parking lot in the little place they worship across the street is so small, they all park in the Tom Thumb parking lot. And if you show up at Tom Thumb at 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon, you're going to probably not find a place to park. I mean, that parking lot is completely filled. There is a field wide under a harvest right there in that parking lot. There are folks that believe they have found God, and they found a fake God, not the true God, the lies of Muhammad and all his distractions and deception. There's a little booklet that I've got, and on the outside of it, it looks like it's just a little brown book, and there's no title, there's nothing on the outside of it at all. You turn it over on the inside, and it begins to tell a story. The writers in this little booklet have taken the four Gospels, and they've put together the life story of Jesus in chronological order. So it's like reading a novel or a biography of who is Jesus. But the title is nowhere. Even when you open the first pages, it doesn't say anything. It's produced by an organization called Plus Nothing. Plus Nothing means that in order to be saved, what does the Bible say? Just believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It doesn't say, and then you need to, or plus anything else. It doesn't say, plus you have to be baptized, or plus you have to join the church, or plus you have to. It just says, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will be saved. So I want you to be praying about an initiative we'll have for the Tom Thumb parking lot on a Friday. I bought enough of those Plus Nothing little booklets that we can put them in sacks, and we can put them on every car in that parking lot on a Friday while they're in there in their prayers in that mosque across the street. And who knows? Who knows what God may be doing in the heart and the life of one of those Muslims? Who knows that the power of the Word of God, when they begin to read the life story of our Savior Jesus, that it can make a difference in just one person's life. That's all that matters. If just one more person comes to know Christ as their Savior, what a great, great reward that is. So you be praying about that. I'm working on some more details of us distributing those on a Friday. I did it a year ago. I went down there and I had a beautiful gospel track, and the track was entitled, Who is Jesus? And it was a great track telling the simple, beautiful story of who Jesus is. I put that track on every car in the parking lot that day. And, you know, I'm just planting seeds. That's what God wants. We're talking about sowing and reaping today. God, help us to sow into the lives of the folks in this community that need Jesus as our Savior. Would you bow your heads with me today? Father, I thank you. I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the direction and guidance it gives us. I thank you for the challenges that we face as Christians, that your Word challenges us and directs us to do your will, to reach those that need Jesus as their Savior. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to touch hearts and lives in this place, that will challenge us to do more, to reach out into this community to share the hope and the good news of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for reminding us of these eternal truths today. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.